Chapter 13. Professor Thand looked like a mad scientist, or so Emily thought the moment she walked into his large classroom. He was a tall, lanky man with unkempt hair and a slightly manic grin, reminding her of David Tennant, the actor who had played the 10th Doctor from Doctor Who. Thand was leaning over a cauldron, perched on top of something that looked like a Bunsen burner, dropping a handful of ingredients into the liquid. It smelled very faintly of spice and boiling alcohol. Unlike the other tutors she'd seen, Professor Thand wore a shirt and trousers instead of robes, as well as a belt that carried several different tools for his work. When he turned slightly to study his class, Emily saw a nasty burn mark on his cheek. A second accident, at least she hoped that it had been an accident, seemed to have left his left hand badly scarred. He wasn't the first teacher she'd seen with a damaged hand, she recalled. It seemed to be a common magical injury. "Be seated," Thand said, as he returned his attention to the boiling cauldron in front of him. "I won't be a minute." Emily sat down at one of the desks and forced herself to compose her mind. She'd been accosted by 5 different older pupils on the way to alchemy class, all of whom shared Aloha's fears about what a first-year student would do to their shared grade in martial magic, and had even more inventive threats for what would happen if she let the class down. Emily had seriously considered going to Mistress Irene to ask to be removed from the class. Then her natural stubbornness had kicked in. Now she was determined to do her very best. Besides, part of her mind whispered, Shade had marked her for death. Martial magic might provide her with the knowledge she needed to live a full life rather than remain a prisoner at Whitehall for the rest of her life. The desk itself was rather odd, rather like one from an old-time school, a box on legs. When she opened the lid, she saw a dozen cloth bags, each one smelling of something different. Sniffing one of them made her head spin, and she put it down quickly, trying to resist the urge to take tight hold of her desk and never let go. The sensation faded quickly, but the lesson wasn't lost on her. Sniffing something when she didn't know what it was could be dangerous. Looking around the classroom, she saw stained and blackened walls, the result, she assumed, of previous experiments. Thand didn't look as if he was inclined to follow the scientific method. Instead, he looked as if he'd be happy to mix 2 liquids together and strike a match, just to see what would happen. The walls were completely bare, apart from the one ahead of her, where Thand had placed a green-gold object that looked oddly familiar. She couldn't remember where she'd seen something like it, but she was confident that she had. The thought nagged at her as the classroom slowly filled up with her fellow pupils, until it finally clicked. She was looking at a single dragon scale. Thand moved to the front of the classroom and clapped his hands together for attention.
"I am Professor Thand, head of alchemy. You're here for basic alchemy, a required class for studying advanced alchemy, followed by various specialist departments of alchemy. Are all those facts correct?"
Emily nodded automatically. There was no sign of Alassa in this class, which suggested that she'd managed to pass it, or that she'd never taken it at all. Emily had expected all students to take the same classes at first, but chatting to the handful of students who would talk to her had confirmed that there were hundreds of different paths through Whitehall. Only a handful of the classes were truly mandatory for all of the students. Unfortunately for Alassa, that included basic charms.
"Good," Thand said.
He clapped his hands together again.
"For those of you who haven't bothered to read your textbooks, a fairly common problem, it seems, you will find that you are lacking in basic knowledge. Can anyone tell me the fundamental difference between alchemy and charms?"
There was a pause, and then one of the boys raised his hand.
"Alchemy involves brewing things, sir?"
"A very incomplete answer, and nowhere near accurate enough," Ben said briskly.
He didn't seem angry, more like he was amused.
"Would anyone care to take another guess?"
A girl with skin so white that she had to be an albino raised her hand.
"Alchemy involves using natural magic, sir, and charms involves using your own magic?"
"Much better,"
Thand said approvingly. He rubbed his hands together as he started to lecture.
"You are aware, of course, that mana is everywhere in the world. High levels of mana cause unpredictable changes in plants, animals, and even the very air itself. What that means, for those of us who are ruthlessly practical, is that mana creates magical qualities in natural material."
He picked up a glass decanter from his table and held it up in front of him.
"Eye of Newt," he said, as he rotated it so that they could see the eyes.
Emily felt sick, and judging from the sounds behind her, she wasn't the only one.
"What magical uses do these eyes have for the alchemist?"
There was another pause, broken by the albino girl.
"They help you to see, sir?"
"I'm afraid not," Thand said.
His gaze swept the room.
"The mana in Eye of Newt is useless for any practical purpose, at least as far as we have been able to determine. Perhaps one of you will become an alchemy researcher and discover a use, but right now, Eyes of Newt are useless. Completely useless, unless you want to separate a qualified alchemist from someone who merely brags of his own skills."
He put the decanter down and picked up a small glass jar. This one, as far as Emily could tell, held hair.
"Shaved hamster hair,"
Thand informed them. The sounds of disgust grew louder.
"And what sort of magical powers do they possess?"
This time, no one dared answer.
"In their natural form, they are poisonous,"
Thand said, answering his own question.
"But when boiled in water for 17 hours and combined with a drop of the patient's blood, they provide an excellent energy boost for a magician who has pushed himself to the limit."
Emily stared at him. What sort of person would shave a hamster and then boil the poor creature's hair for hours just to see what would happen? Come to think of it, how had they even known that something would happen? Her mind spun, making her wish that she'd borrowed a book on alchemy from the library, as well as the spell books for self-defense and practical jokes. No wonder science was so badly retarded in this world.
"Those of you who are familiar with basic charms will know that spells can mutate if they are not defined perfectly,"
Thand continued.
"The magic in the natural world has mutated, twisted in ways that are difficult to imagine. You may consider alchemy to be partly about mixing different spells together, but that tends to limit your imagination, which,"
he held up his scarred hand,
"can be no bad thing."
His voice sharpened.
"There are rules for learning alchemy, and I expect them to be followed to the letter. Those of you who break these rules will be used as test subjects for my experiments. Experiments that have been known to get out of control and..."
He showed them his hand again.
"Cause unexpected injury. Anyone who continues to mess around after that clearly has the right attitude to become a master alchemist, but you can do your research on top of a mountain or in the middle of a desert. It will be safer for everyone else. First rule, learn everything you can about alchemy."
He pointed a scarred finger at Emily.
"What happens if you mix corn flour with icing sugar and blow it into a candle?"
Emily hesitated. "I don't know," she admitted finally.
"A very good answer," Thand said. "Should you ever be in doubt about what will happen when you carry out an experiment, try and look up the answer first, which, by the way, is a small explosion."
He moved his finger to another boy.
"What happens if you mix cat and dog hair together in water and then drink it?"
The boy looked around, desperately.
"You turn someone into a cat or a dog?"
"Wrong," Thand said.
His face darkened.
"You make them bark and meow helplessly for several minutes, and incidentally, it doesn't work if you only use hair from one animal."
He looked up, glancing from student to student.
"Ignorance can kill. If you are in doubt about anything, look it up or ask a trained alchemist. Second rule, always carry out your experiments behind wards to provide safety. Yes, there are any number of alchemists who lower the wards for more contact with the experiments, and most of them come to regret it sooner or later. You are all students, and while you are studying here, you will keep experimental wards up at all times. In addition to that, you will also confine any experimentation to the warded alchemy rooms. Anyone caught practicing alchemy elsewhere in Whitehall will be severely punished. Third rule, always cast a testing charm before drinking anything you have produced for yourself. A single mistake can kill you outright. If you're not confident with the charm, ask one of your classmates to cast it for you. Refusing to cast the charm for one of your fellows, if asked, will also result in severe punishment."
He paused for a moment to allow that to sink in, then continued.
Also, when drinking other potions, it's a good idea to cast the charm anyway. Some of the newer potion recipes are still producing odd effects if left alone too long. A charm will ensure that it won't kill you outright.
Thand gave them all a commanding stare.
If you are in doubt, ask me or another alchemist. I will not punish anyone for making mistakes or asking questions, merely for placing their own lives, or that of others, in danger. Fourth rule, check everything. Alchemy is, in its own way, as precise as anything you might learn in charms. Now, open your desks.
Emily obeyed, looking down at the small collection of ingredients.
You will see a seal on each of the bags,
Band said.
That seal belongs to Elmer, one of the apothecaries who works under me. Apothecaries produce materials for alchemists, and once they verify that they are whatever they claim to be, they bag them up and place their seal on them. The seal will vanish if something else is left in the bag for an unwary alchemist, so make sure that it is still there every time you take something from the bag. If the seal vanishes, take the bag to the disposal chamber and throw it out along with the entire remaining contents. You're not ready to experiment with materials that may be compromised. If you don't use material from an apothecary, check everything. Where it comes from, how it was harvested, how it was stored, everything. A single mistake can prove fatal.
He smiled thinly.
An apothecary who provides bad materials can be executed if the buyer doesn't kill him first. Murdering someone who conned an alchemist is perfectly legal throughout the Allied lands.
Thand snorted.
Oh, and always use natural materials. If you transfigure grass into mandrake root, just because you cannot afford mandrake, the transfigured grass will still have a magical signature that will throw a stone into the alchemical process. That's a good way to get yourself killed if you're not careful. Finally, always, and I mean always, write down what you plan to do beforehand. There are notebooks in your desks. Write down the planned experiment and stick to it. While carrying out the experiment, write down what happens. Once the experiment is complete, write down what happened afterwards. Do not leave anything out, or someone trying to reproduce your experiment might run into trouble. Far too many alchemical developments have been discovered, lost, and then had to be rediscovered because some damned fool of an alchemist didn't write down what he was doing.
Thand leaned back against his desk and grinned.
That's enough of the boring part. Open your desks again and empty them out onto the top. Now, if you please.
He waited until the students had finished sorting out everything, and then allowed his smile to widen, waving a hand in the air as he cast a spell. A recipe appeared in front of them, written in glowing letters that burned silently in the air.
Follow that recipe to the letter.
Emily stared at the letters, and then down at the ingredients. If this was what passed for science in this universe, none of them seemed to be genuine chemicals at all, merely items harvested from plants and animals. She laughed inwardly a moment later. Chemicals could be harvested from plants, after all. Besides, if alchemists worked to unlock the magical properties of the natural world, it was possible that she was looking at the counterpart of the chemical she'd been told about in science class at school. If only they'd been allowed to do more practical experiments. The first bag contained boiled potatoes. It was so mundane that she found it impossible to take seriously until she cut into the first potato and saw the strange pattern inside. The potato's interior was infested with a purple spider web that sent a tingle through her fingers when she touched it. Wondering if it was a mutated potato, and therefore unsafe to eat, Emily started to cut it up into tiny pieces, following the recipe to the letter. Thand walked from desk to desk, his eyes missing nothing.
Cut the grains finer than that,
he ordered one pupil, before moving on to the next.
The recipe says one piece of root.
His voice hardened.
Or can't you read?
The boy flushed unpleasantly.
I follow the recipe,
Thand snapped, all humor gone.
You can start fiddling with the ingredients when you have a handle on precision.
Slowly, the experiment began to take shape in front of Emily's eyes. 7 ingredients, each one weighed out perfectly, rather like they'd done in home economics class. She almost giggled at the thought. Who would have thought that stupid class was actually useful? Shaking her head, she wrote out what she'd done and then sat back, unsure what to do next. Nothing actually seemed to be happening in the marble bowl she'd used to mix her ingredients together.
"Now that you have completed your preparation," Than said, "you may start the experiment itself."
He nodded towards the far wall, which slowly lifted upwards to reveal another room beyond the first classroom.
"Everyone find a desk with a portable stove, but do not put your mixing bowl on it yet."
The second room was even more barren than the first. The tables looked as if they were designed to take everything from spills to minor explosions. Emily felt the additional protective wards as soon as she walked into the room and took one of the tables, trying to see how to light the stove. There seemed to be no easy solution until Thand stopped briefly behind her stool and clicked his fingers at the stove, which lit up like a bright candle. It felt surprisingly warm when she held her hand over the heat.
"When you start to heat the bowl, be sure to stir carefully," Thand said as he reached the head of the classroom. "Keep a close eye on what happens as you stir."
He paused.
"You may start heating your bowl now."
Emily picked up the bowl and carefully placed it on the stove, taking one of the spoons and using it to stir as heat spread through the mixture. Slowly, some of the ingredients started to melt into a messy puddle, which started to bubble and steam as she stirred. The other ingredients appeared unchanged, but so did meat in a stew, at least at first. If it took time for food to cook, it might easily take time for an alchemical process to run its course. Emily jumped as a thunderous crash echoed through the room. Down the table, the albino girl's mixture had just destroyed itself. Emily almost forgot to stir as a second bowl also exploded, the protective wards safeguarding the students from harm. A moment later, her mixture fizzed sharply and turned into a black, sticky mass, which hardened with terrifying speed. She soon found it impossible to stir it at all.
"Take it off the stove," Thand ordered.
Emily started. How had he managed to appear behind her without her even sensing his presence?
"You'll be cleaning the bowls afterwards, all of you."
Emily watched as the final experiments ran their course. Only 2 students seemed to have successfully produced something, although she wasn't sure what it actually did. Thand poured it out onto the table and invited them to look at the grayish material. At first, it seemed completely inert. Then, when Thand poked it with a metal prod, it shimmered to life and became a mirror. Thand placed a tiny doll beside the material, and they watched as the material slowly became a gray duplicate of the doll.
"Those of you who had an explosion probably added too much spice," Thand said into the silence. "Precision is important. Those of you who created a black sticky mess didn't cut the potato up finely enough. Precision is important. Those of you who managed to have your experiments catch fire unbalanced the bowl on the stove. Precision is important."
There was a long pause, and then he nodded towards a door in the far end of the room.
"You will clean your equipment carefully, rinse it with cold water, and leave it to dry. Having uncontaminated equipment is also important."
Emily followed the other pupils into the washroom, feeling her nervousness return as she tried to wash her bowl and spoon. The sticky mess resisted her best efforts until Thand passed her a soap-like substance that washed the bowl clean. Alchemy was an interesting class, but it wasn't her most alarming class of the day. Her first martial magic class was coming up rapidly, and she would be the youngest and most ignorant pupil on the field. God alone knew what would happen to her.